I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. This morning, this evening, if God allows, God certainly gives us spiritual direction. I want to focus on these two chapters in 2 Corinthians. We understand this. What you hold in your hand is the Word of God. If I am a Christian, that is my doctrine. That is my foundation. That is what I believe as a child of God. The truth of the matter is, as a preacher of the gospel that is called to preach the Word of God, it is not my message, but it is God's holy word that is the message for every believer. As a mother, as a father, as a husband, as a wife, as a Christian, whatever the situation may be in your life, we can trust the Word of God. I believe from Genesis to Revelation that every word was breathed of God. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So that's why we understand we are not holding a textbook. There is not a man-made book that is lying on this pulpit or you're holding in your hands in this building today. But this is God's holy word. As a matter of fact, I believe it is so real to the children of God. There's no difference than if God would jump out of some balcony in heaven and begin to speak in an audible voice to the children of God. When you open up the Bible, God is speaking to you.
That's right.
In my life and tragedy and sorrow and pain and sickness, as your life, there's troubled days, there's sorrow, there's dark days. Can I say it this way? Our hope and our answer is always found in the Word of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're searching. As Christians, we're technically, I've heard, especially as preachers, we're not supposed to do this. I don't understand it. But I love to study philosophy. And philosophy is just questions. And many of those that some of it considered in their minds, some of the greatest philosophers of this world, they'll make statements like this: there is no absolute truth. But can I say to those great minds that are really not that great at all, there is absolute truth, and it is in the Word of God. But even though we have this absolute truth, there are still questions.
Sure.
And we wonder, God, why has this happened in my life? I don't know what your tragedy may be. I don't know what the darkest days of your life may be. But I do know this, whatever you're walking in, whatever valley you may be stepping in today, there is help and there is hope always found in the pages of the Word of God. I had a man ask me a few days ago, is the Bible real? And I have that answer. It is real. It is God's book. How do I know that? Well, as a child of God, if you're here today and you're not saved and you've never personally received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, certainly you're going to doubt the Word of God because you do not have the teacher of the Holy Spirit of God that is living inside of you. But if you are saved today, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit. He's not living in this building. He's not living in this property. He is not sitting on the podium or a pew. He is living, we'll speak about it today. He is living inside of your body. And when you open up the Word of God, He will reveal that truth unto you.
Amen.
When you study the Bible, you're not looking for some preconceived idea in your mind. You're trying to listen to the Lord and what the Lord is saying to the children of God. One professor many, many years ago said that God does not speak to His children anymore. And some ignorant freshman in the back of the room said, well, He spoke to me this morning because I read His Bible. And can I say, He's not that ignorant. He's smarter than the professor. Because if you have read the Bible, God is speaking to you. Can I say it this way? What is your question? What is it in your life that you're searching for? Let us not be that spiritually arrogant to think that we have all the answers. Whether you have been saved for 5 minutes or whether you have been saved for 50 years, we all have questions. We all wonder in our mind. But isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to go to some man's opinion? We don't have to go to some false religion as a child of God. We can open up the Bible. We can find out what thus saith the Lord. God's word is always right for the children of God.
Amen.
and you study the Bible, especially a book of the Bible, you're searching for the context of that scripture. That simply means the intended purpose or the intended meaning for which it is given. And there's no difference in 2 Corinthians. As a matter of fact, historically, it is said that the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, certainly under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, but it is said historically that he wrote four letters to the church of Corinth. But God only chose two of those letters to inspire. God only placed two of those letters in what we know as the canon of the Scripture and the New Testament of the Word of God. So though he wrote four letters to the church and the congregation of Corinth, God used two of those letters. He breathed upon them. So we are not literally reading the words of the Apostle Paul, but we are literally reading the words of God through the pen of the Apostle Paul. Even though it was a troubled congregation, and even though there was sorrow and sin in that congregation, God loved them so much that he used his man, the Apostle Paul, to write these letters to this congregation. And I make this statement at the offset or the outset of this study. I have many questions. I wonder many times in my life. It is hard, and this is not a good way to be, but this is how my mind works, and certainly many of you have this same type of mind. It is hard for me just to accept something and not knowing it to be true. I would, and don't be this way, young person, but I would sit in history class in junior high and high school, and I'm thinking, well, how do I know it's true? I know it's in the textbook, but that's just some man that wrote that. Can I say, you don't have to ask that question with the Bible. Amen. It's God's word. Amen. It's a holy word. It's a pure word. It's a perfect word. So God used the pen of the Apostle Paul. One said it this way, the first letter, 1 Corinthians, of the Apostle Paul that was given to this troubled congregation. It was more of a practical theology. Yes, there was problems. Yes, there was sorrow. I passed two or three churches in my travels in the last 30 years that they I don't know why you'd ever do this, but they named their church the Corinth Baptist Church or the First Baptist Church of Corinth. I'm thinking, that's really not a good example. That's really not what you want to pattern your congregation off of. That they had troubles in their congregation and even sin in their congregation, but God gave them a letter to answer their questions. Though 1 Corinthians was a practical theology, 2 Corinthians, it is known or it is estimated that it is more of a personal theology. Paul loved this congregation. Yes, they were full of trouble, and yes, there were mistakes. Let's not be too critical of the church of Corinth, because we're all full of trouble. We're all full of mistakes. We all mess up. But this second letter, you'll read this, and I encourage you to read both letters in the next few days, and you will find the Apostle Paul, though he corrected them and though he tried to tell them, but you'll find that the incense, the tensity of 2 Corinthians, it was given in more of a personal manner. As a matter of fact, he even testifies in 2 Corinthians. Let me say, possibly this afternoon, if God will give you a few moments to read the first three chapters of 2 Corinthians, because the Bible is a book of order, and everything that he said in the first three chapters, it is leading up to chapter 4. Notice how we know this. Look at the very first word in chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians. Paul said, therefore, that simply means what I said in chapter 3 and how I introduced this in chapter 1 and 2. It is all leading to this one statement. Watch verse number 1 in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Therefore, seeing we, all of us, children of God, we have this ministry. You understand this? If you are saved, you have a purpose. Everybody will not be a pastor. Everybody will not go to some foreign mission field. But every child of God has a calling. Every child of God has a purpose. And notice what he said about this ministry, this purpose. As we have received mercy. I love this language. We faint not.
We don't lose heart. We don't. Yes, there will be troubled days. Yes, there will be sorrow. There will be trials. But as we have received mercy, watch this, we faint not. We don't give up. We don't lose heart. You know why? Because we receive mercy. That simply means this: no matter how bad your day may be, no matter how hard your life may become, we've received mercy. That means because of God and because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of mercy, we're not going to hell. We have the promise of heaven. We receive mercy. God saved our souls from a devil's hell. We have no place to give up. We have no place to quit as we have received mercy. Amen. What have we done in verse number 2? In the exposition, we have renounced the hidden things. Watch this. Of dishonesty. The same word that we would use. Literally the things of shamefulness. We've renounced those things. Now, yes, he's dealing with a congregation that had sin, and yes, he's dealing with people that had troubles in their life. But Paul said, we receive mercy. Paul said, now we're children of God. Now we have renounced those hidden things. Watch this. Not walking. Look at the tone of the scripture. Not walking in craftiness, nor, I love this, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. How do we do it, Paul? But by manifestation of truth. Committing ourselves to every man's conscience. That has everything to do with our testimony in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Paul said, how can we not tell a lost and a dying world about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're saved today, you know why you're saved? Somebody told you. Somebody reminded you. I heard a man say a few years ago, well, I was driving my truck and the steering wheel began to shake. And he said, I saw a light, a glare in the window. I'm thinking to myself, you probably need new wheel bearings. You probably need to get your tires balanced. That had nothing. And then he said, I know when I got out of that truck, I was a child of God. That has nothing to do with God. It was probably the sun reflecting off your dirty windshield. I'll tell you how you're saved. It wasn't just an experience, but somebody told you, somebody reminded you that Jesus paid it all. Somebody told you that Jesus shed every drop of his blood. It is the death and the burial and the resurrection. We cannot hide the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, verse 4, in whom the God, Satan, the God of this world. What has he done? He hath blinded the minds of them, the sinners, the lost, which believe not. That's the light. A glorious gospel of Christ. It's a gospel of glory, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Why would Paul describe the gospel that way? I'll tell you why. Because when he was on his way to persecute the church, you've heard his testimony. You've read his testimony. The Lord shined his light, but it was the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, do you remember the day when somebody told you about Jesus and the light finally shined to you? Do you remember the day when the man of God was preaching and in that pew you're sitting in the day, the light of the gospel shined unto you? It's the greatest day of your life. Thank God you were born the first time, but it's better to be born the second time. It's because of the gospel of the Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Watch verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, Paul said. What do we preach, Paul? But Christ Jesus, the Lord. And ourselves, we're servants for Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What has he done? He has shined in our hearts. You know why, when you became a child of God, oh, the outside may have instantly, it will affect the outside, but maybe instantly it didn't affect the outside. Do you know what it changed immediately? The inside. There was the light of the gospel. I was a 5-year-old boy when I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I don't think anything on the outside changed. I still had holes in my jeans. I still ran around playing in the woods and the mountains. I still rode bicycles and finally got dirt bikes. I don't think nothing on the outside changed. But I'm telling you, more changed on the inside than you ever dreamed. Now you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, old things. Oh, the world can't see it yet, but it will affect the outside. It will change the outside. But now the light of the gospel is shining. Amen. To give the light, verse 6, why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. What's the language of the Bible? In the face of Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible just said? When we walk out of these doors in just a few moments, our family, our lost family, our lost friends, they really shouldn't see us. They should see Christ in us.
Amen.
When I go to my job, you go to your school, whatever the situation may be, they really, I just thought about something when I was preaching the other day along these lines. My job is what I'm doing now. God has called me to do exactly what I'm doing now. Next year it'll be 30 years of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If I am to show Jesus in my job, when I get up to preach every night of my life, they shouldn't see me. They should see Christ.
Amen.
Whatever you do, whatever you have to do in this life, as a Christian, Christ should be so big on the inside that he is seen on the outside. So watch the exposition. Number one, notice verse 7. But we have this treasure. What is that on the inside? In earthen vessels. An earthen vessel is an amazing terminology. It's old language. We don't use it. We should. We don't use it anymore. But it's nothing more than a brittle jar of clay. It's this body that you see on the outside. When you look in the mirror, it's the body. And look what Christ did. We have this treasure that is our salvation, that is the Spirit of God. And look what he done with it, his greatest treasure. He didn't put it in a safe somewhere. He didn't put it in a tabernacle somewhere. He didn't throw it off in a temple somewhere in the middle of the earth. You know what God did with this treasure? He put it in your body. He put it in nothing more than a brittle jar of clay. God took his greatest treasure, your salvation, the Spirit of God that is dwelling in you. We have this treasure, but where's an apple? It's an earthen vessel. But why? That the excellency of the power be of God. Not of us. They should see Christ inside of me. When I boast, I have nothing to boast of. When I brag, I have nothing to brag of, because my treasure is on the inside. My treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, God is not living in these pews. God, when we leave this building in just a few minutes, the Lord, this is so wonderful. Everywhere you go, everything you do, the Lord is with you. The Spirit of God is with you. If I was him, I would stay in this building. I would go to some temple somewhere, but he wants to live inside of you. He does live inside of you, that the excellency may be of the power of God and not of us. We have nothing to brag of. We have nothing to boast of except the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Watch the study in this treasure that is in an earthen vessel. Look at verse 8. We are troubled in this earthen vessel. We are troubled. You can quote these verses on every side. Yet, not distressed. That literally means we're hard pressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. To be perplexed, it literally means this. We're crushed in this body. We're struck in this body. But look at the Bible. Verse number 9, but persecuted in this earthen vessel, but not forsaken. Cast down, literally crushed, but not destroyed. Always, here it is again. When you study your Bible, you're looking for what is repeated, because not every time, but most of the time, that is the emphasis of the context. And you already said this treasure, our salvation, the Spirit of God, it's in the earthen vessel. That is our body. That's what we see. That is in the mirror every morning. And now, again, in verse 10, always bear it about where? Where, Paul? Where, Paul? In the body. This earthen vessel. What we see in the mirror. The dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? Here it is again. That the life also of Jesus might be manifest. Where? In our body. In this earthen vessel, this body that we see, We are representing the death. No wonder God allows trouble. No wonder God allows trials. No wonder God allows valleys in your life. No wonder God allows sorrow. And you know what Paul said? Here's why he allows this, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in the same place in our body. So when we are representing the death and the sorrow and the pain of Christ, we will manifest the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will show, can I say it this way? Paul's just reminding us that God's not just good on the mountaintop. God's not just good when the sun is shining spiritually. God is good in the hospital bed. God is good in the darkest days of our life. This world needs to see somebody that'll praise him in the dark days. Somebody that'll praise him in the worst days of your life. He's still good. He's still God. He's always amazing in our life. This world, we're representing his death. They need to see the life of Christ manifest, magnified in this body. I wonder if my gospel is hid because of my complaints. I wonder if my family that needs to be saved, am I hiding the gospel because I tell them how bad my life is?
Oh my.
I wonder those that I work with or those we go to school with, whatever the case may be, am I hiding the gospel because I'm not representing God well in this body? Paul said we ought to manifest. Who is death? We ought to manifest. Magnify the life. Paul is writing to a congregation that has troubles. Paul is writing to a congregation that even though they've failed God and there's sin in their life, Paul is reminding them, we can't hide the gospel. We must represent the gospel in this body. Watch the word of God in the exposition. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death. Why? For Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Here it is again. In our mortal flesh. Earthen vessel. This body. You know what Paul just said? Whatever trouble may be in my life, I should represent Christ in his resurrection. However bad my day may be, however hard life may be coming, it will. I need to represent his resurrection in this mortal flesh. I'll be honest with you. I have to be very careful. Last year I testified to my wife going to heaven, and 2.5 years ago, and it'll be 3 years in November, more than 2.5 years. I have to be very careful. Because the same God that gave me my wife, 28 amazing years, I have to be careful in front of my lost friends and family. I could keep my head hanging down. I could say how bad life is. I could say I'm ready to give up. But isn't he the same God that he was 3 years ago? Isn't he the same God? I remember that wonderful day of our wedding, July 30th of 1994. I was only 19 years old, man. I was just a boy, but God let me marry. It was an amazing day. I remember those years of our marriage. It was amazing, but then God let her have cancer. He's the same God. He allowed us to suffer. I'm not really concerned about my daughter getting married November 8th. You're getting married down in Seaside, Florida. Be careful what you tell your daughter. A few years ago, we was down in Seaside, Florida, just passing through. We couldn't afford to stay there, but we was just passing through, and my little daughter said, oh, Daddy, look at that white chapel. When I get married, I want to get married there. And I said, oh, baby, anything you want, absolutely. Well, about a few months ago, she said, Daddy, you remember when I said, I said, yeah, I remember that. I didn't think you were serious. And she said, oh, I want to get, be careful what you tell your daughter. I'm not too concerned about her getting married. She's married and seemed like a great young man. Other than he's a Dallas Cowboy fan, so y'all please pray for that situation. But she's taken Bruno. She's taken my dog. That's what y'all really need to pray about. That's what's messing my life up. But I'm here to tell you, there's some things maybe I could complain about. There's some things I could say, God, why? And I have. But I need to be careful. Because yes, his death is manifested. That means we will have sorrows. Yes, his death, it will be. That means we will have trouble. But we should magnify his life. Why would I want to trust in a God that all you ever get is death and no life? Why would I want to trust in a God who his followers, they just complain and they just fuss and they just give up and they go to church and they got a Bible, but they never read it and they're not excited about what God. Why would I want to trust that God? Paul said, I know you have troubles. I know you've messed up. But here's what you ought to tell a lost and a dying world. Quit hiding the gospel. Let them know he's alive and well. Let them know he's still worth it to serve him. He's still better than anything in this world. I'm just here to tell you today, there will be sorrows. There will be pain. But I'm here to remind you, our God is alive and well. There's victory in Jesus. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. Represent his life. Magnify. Why? Verse 12. So then death worketh in us, life in you. We're having the same spirit. This is the unity. The same spirit of faith. According as it is written, he's quoting, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe. Therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus to raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Here's what I'm interested in. For all things. You know what that means as a Christian? Everything that happens in your life. For all things. For all things. Are for your sakes. God, he's talking, Paul, he's talking to a congregation that had large problems. Difficult situation. You know what Paul said? Everything that's happened in your life is for your sake. We could ask these questions, and I have. God, why? We could say this, God, it didn't happen to them. It didn't happen to them. God, why me? For all things. For your sakes. Not because God is angry, not because God is mad, for all things are for your sakes. Why? Here's the answer. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You know what he just said? God has allowed that in your life. That the world, those that were hiding the gospel from, they might see something different. My glory, God said, will redound in your life. I wonder what it is this morning that God has allowed to happen in your life. I certainly don't have all the answers. Why did my wife die? Why? Pastor, my father, my dad, he's had so many strokes. He's 84 and causing him to lose his short-term memory. A man that's been faithful, pastor, for all them years, just served God, and a holy man, a righteous man. I could ask God why. You have questions. I heard not long after my Rachel died, and a man said, what are you going to do? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, are you going to keep preaching? I said, yeah. He said, I think I'd quit. I guess I could give up and nobody would fault me. But I would not be giving God the glory.
That's good.
In my life. This morning, you have reasons to quit. But I want you to think about this. Whatever your reason you think is to quit, you give him no glory when you give up.
My goodness.
Good thought.
Hey.
We all can find an excuse. But I would not give God any glory. Paul said, I know he's writing personal. I know there's sorrow. I know you messed up. I know some of you almost wrecked your home and your family. I know all these things. I know your doctrine's bad. I know there's some things you need to fix in your life, but don't quit.
Amen.
Don't give up.
Amen.
Let God be glorified. I've seen many people, they start out so good and so faithful with God because everything's going well. The job is good. The finances is good. The health is good. But the first problem comes. Well, if that's God, can I make this statement? That is God. God will allow that to happen. Because it's easy, at least it ought to be, it's easy to serve God on the mountaintop. It's easy to serve God when you're healthy. It's easy to serve God when your marriage is good. It's easy to serve God when your children are still being faithful. But what about when they quit church?
Good.
What about when cancer attacks your body? What about when your finances are gone? I heard a man say a while back that he lost over $10 million in one day. I'm thinking, well, glory to God. I ain't had $10 million my whole life. Y'all be thanking God you had $10 million to lose. He had plenty extra. Don't worry about it too much. What about when you lose it all? God's still good.
Amen.
God's still amazing. You know, Paul said at the very outset of this chapter, I tell you why we don't lose heart. We're not going to hell. We receive mercy. If you lose everything down here, you're still a child of God. Heaven still awaits you. It's still your home. There's still a mansion. There's still a street of gold. And can I say, don't give up now, child of God. Don't lose heart now, child of God. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ.
Amen.
Why? For all things. The abundant grace, look at verse 15. Through the thanksgiving of many, I love this, redound to the glory of God. So here's the message. For which cause we faint not. We don't give up in this body. He said it again. We don't lose heart. In the darkest days of our life, we don't faint. We stay faithful for His glory. Watch verse 16. You can quote it. Though our outward man, that's the body. That's the earthen vessel. It perishes, it's dying. Oh, the inward man, that's your spirit. It's being renewed day by day. And I love verse 17. I'm almost done. For our light affliction. Oh, I believe that to be the word of God. But my affliction is not light. Paul, I have been walking through some of the darkest days that I never dreamed I would. Paul said, no. A light affliction. Not because of what it is, but it's because of what it's compared to. Look at the Bible. For our light affliction, whatever you're going through as a child of God, for our light affliction, oh, it's but for a moment. It's only for a little while. 3 weeks ago, it was 1,000 days since my Rachel had went to heaven. Chandler, my future son-in-law, he added it up in God's timetable as close as he could. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. And I was kind of a little down that day, but 1,000 days, kind of a mark, a thing like that in my life. And Thinking, man, it's been 1,000 days. Seemed like it's just yesterday. And Brother Chandler, he came up to me and he said, oh, Brother Dale, let me tell you about what I discovered. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, I kind of added up a day with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 with the day. He said, it's been 1,000 days since Miss Rachel's been in heaven, right? And I said, yeah, it's been 1,000 days today. And I was kind of down on myself. And he began to raise his hand. He began to shout. And he said, you know what that means? He said, it's only been 3.5 minutes since she's been in heaven. And can I say, child of God, it may seem like an eternity down here. It may seem like the valleys will never end. Oh, but one day it'll be worth it all. What a day. What a day that'll be. We might just our light affliction. It's only for a moment.
Amen.
It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. Look at the Bible. It's only for a moment, but what's it doing? It worketh for us. Far more. Look at the language. Exceed an eternal weight of glory. We've seen the resurrection. We notice the renewal. We look at the results, but I'm done with this. Look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Why? For the things which are seen are temporal.
Right.
I've seen cancer. Paul said, it's only temporary. I've seen heartache. It's only temporary. I've seen people lose their job. Only temporary. I've seen people wreck their life. Only temporary. I've seen people mess up. Only temporary. Because the things that we see are only temporary. Oh, but the things that we can't see, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. But I've got a home somewhere.
Yes.
Beyond the blue.
Amen.
I've never seen a street of gold, but I'm going to walk on it one day. I've never seen walls of jasper, but one day I'm just going to lean on the walls of jasper for 1,000 years. I've never seen his face, but one day I'll see Jesus.
Amen.
Face to face. What are you going through today? You know why you can't quit? Because of the gospel. It's only temporary, whatever you're going through. You know why you can't give up? Because of the gospel. My daughter, my family, my friends, God's people. If I give up today because of temporary problems, it will affect eternity. But if I don't give up because of temporary problems, it will also affect eternity. Maybe someone will say, I need that Jesus. I need his Savior. I need to believe in that gospel. If that Jesus can get him through that valley, if that Savior can get him through that dark day, that's the Savior I want. That's the Savior I want to believe. Stop hiding the gospel.
Amen.
In your life. I wonder who it is that is watching me, and I don't even know it. And if I give up today, they'll not put their faith in my Jesus. Who is watching you? There's children watching you. Family watching. I thought about this in the last few months. We pray, I pray. When Rachel told me she was expecting Adelie, and 25 years ago, almost 26 now, I began to pray that day. But I didn't just pray for her. I prayed for her husband that day. I prayed for her children, my grandchildren that day. What if I would have given up in this season? That's only temporary. With my grandchildren that I don't even have, would they serve God? Stop hiding the gospel. Manifest the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.